It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so earlier today I was going to get some food for my lovely wife and I, and I get in the car and I'm like, you know what? I want to listen to my music via Bluetooth, because you can do that in my car. And it usually syncs up automatically, but sometimes for some reason it takes a while and it wasn't doing it. And I realized that my phone, I had turned off the Bluetooth, mostly because I have a lot of devices that use the headset. And so frequently I turn off the ones that don't. And I had forgotten that I turned it off like yesterday. So I turn it back on and it says, oh, do you want to connect to your car? And I'm like, sure. And it's already showing that it's connected. But meanwhile, my phone is like, we're trying. Oh, we can't connect. And I'm like, well, I don't know what your deal is. You've clearly connected. So I switch it to the Bluetooth output and I don't hear music and there's no music showing, which frequently it shows the tracks. What I do hear is, yeah, I was thrown for a few seconds there as well.
Yeah,
but yeah. I remembered two things. One, for some reason, our car always likes to prioritize Trish's phone over mine. And two, Trish has this game on her phone that I technically don't know what the sounds are, but it's this stocky dude beating the crap out of a lot of other people. So, and sure enough, I drove a few blocks away and it cut out, and then I could finally sync up my own phone and listen to my own. But it was so fun to sync it up, and there's just no context, no label, and it's just like. And I told her the story later, and she cracked up. That's the only fun thing that happened this week, so.
Yeah, it's not been a fun week, really.
The top with that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that was, you have no idea how close to not even happening this week. It was right. Like 12 hours, except more realistically, like 7 hours from not happening. At all. I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 491. We looked it up right beforehand, so I wouldn't forget.
Oh, man, I was just going to compliment you on your great memory.
Nope, don't compliment me.
You outed yourself there. Yeah.
I cheated, and I don't have any problem admitting it. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is.
I'm usually proud when I cheat. No. Before we get into the meat of things, I should talk about this in case there's new people on the show who have never been here before. If you've never been before, welcome. How are you? You can answer all you want. We can't hear, but feel free. We'll wait. Mm-hmm. Oh. But other than that, you're good. I don't care. We have a hat. It's magical. In that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like you and other people and Azure Talon and still other people help us out by writing in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, little questions, little topics, things like that. That will be helpful in talking. You know, that's what that talking part is about. Hat don't talk. It of talking. Anyway, the hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. I've got a crick in my neck that makes turning this way difficult right now, and so this is fun. We shouldn't even get into how was your week. Let's just be honest here. So, we both live in Iowa. We both live in the greater Iowa City metropolitan area.
Yeah.
On Monday, which was, what, the 10th?
Something like that, sure.
Yeah, probably the 10th. This Monday, August something, there was a crazy-ass storm. Like, crazy-ass. Like, apparently, winds up to 125 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is, like, what hurricanes do.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up. And so, it destroyed the Midwest. It doesn't exist anymore. No, it didn't do that. But
well, mostly Iowa.
It, yeah. It knocked down all of the trees. and it knocked out all of the power. I believe between the two major electricity providers in Iowa, they approximated 400,000 Iowans without power for at least some period of time. Which, the state is 3 million. So that's a decent chunk.
Wow, that's a low number from what I heard. Super low.
I mean, I don't even remember where I heard the number, so it might be complete bullshit. The point is, it was a lot. I know, yeah, when I was following my electricity provider, the highest it ever was seeing was in the high 200,000s.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot.
But that was just them. And it knocked out tons and tons of power. And for some people, it was, I would say the ones who had it easiest were probably 12, 13 hours. That's about where you were, right?
We were probably, let's see, let me think. We were like, yeah, 16, I think 16 hours.
Because Stu lives in your general vicinity, and apparently for him it was 13.
Yeah.
And then you said another day for the internet.
Yeah, and I mean, I knew people whose power didn't go out at all, of course. There are a few there people
some.
Like that.
Yeah. And I have found out since, which makes me incredibly uncomfortable, some people got power back and then lost it again.
Oh.
And to be fair, our power went out for like a few seconds, like four or five times before it really went out. And there are some people still without power, including good friends of mine who live like less than a mile away.
Yeah.
Still
yep.
have no power.
That's right.
I lost power about 12:45 on Monday, and it came back on at 5:30 a.m. today. So, little shy of 3 days. Far and away the longest I've ever been without power, especially in the Midwest.
Yeah, it was the longest I'd ever been without power.
We've been lucky. Apparently it didn't do anything to our internet. A lot of friends who have had power back for a lot longer still don't have their internet. As soon as our power was back up, our internet was back up.
Well, the odd thing for us was our phones couldn't even access internet, really. I mean, not reliably. I mean, and I don't
in
mean
in the beginning that was the thing.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's still a bit of a thing. Yeah, it affected cell towers as well. And yeah. Like in the beginning, we were okay. And then it was either Monday night or Tuesday morning. It was really bad. And even the cell signal wouldn't work. And then the cell signal kind of improved. And we ended up Tuesday, Trish went into a little while to work because they had power, but they didn't have the internet working. So she was, because she's still trying to work in all of this. And then Wednesday, we both went in for most of the day because the AC was working and the internet was working and we could charge devices. An old friend of mine who listens to the podcast had a tree fall on her garage with both cars in it, and is going to be out of luck for a while. I think they got the tree lifted off of it, but there's a few things. She kind of lives outside of town, like between here and Solon. So it's going to be a while before they get to restoring her power anyway, possibly Saturday. But also, all of their wiring was through the garage. So they're going to have to get an electrician out there before they can get the power restored. So they're just, there's four people in their house right now, and they're just, they rented a hotel room and they're just taking shifts. And then they still have to be at the house because they have to take care of like 1,000 animals that they have. There's just down the street is a house that is just under a tree. I know a variety of people who have had chunks of their house wiped out by a tree. Apparently Stu's was just that close from just hitting the house. I want to make it clear. William had it way easier than me.
Yeah, I did.
I had it and continue to have it way easier than other people. And there are still other people out there that don't even have power. The estimates they're giving were that the majority of people would be done by late Thursday evening and the rest should be done by Saturday noon. But I want to make it clear, I am by no means the worst by a long shot. And William way easier than me.
Yeah, we basically
had to say this. Sorry, go ahead.
We had to throw out food. That's about it. There was a tree that came down in our backyard, but it didn't come in our yard. It went in our neighbor's yard.
Our ornamental plum has gone down, and I'm just going to deal with it next week. Like, I just couldn't even this week. We apparently lost a couple of limbs, but luckily they landed in other people's yards.
All of our pears on our pear tree fell off.
Yeah. Today, we finally did. We emptied the fridge and the freezer. They were both very full with some things as old as we've lived in this house. Okay. It was disgusting. It's still disgusting. The silver lining of this is I get to clean the damn fridge. Although at the moment, it's still having trouble getting particularly cool again. Apparently there's some trick that Trish claims is farmer wisdom where you take bottles of water and you stick it in there so that it cools down and it holds the cool and gets it back to a good temperature. I don't know what kind of weird witchcraft that is, but we're doing it. The reason I want to make all these equivocations up front is this has been horrific for me. This has been incredibly humbling in that it took so little to just destroy my world. I was just unable to cope. The stress of it all absolutely destroyed my digestive system in horrible ways.
Oh, wow.
I've slept terribly, of course, because it's been really warm and because I don't have my CPAP.
Oh, yeah,
The whole experience has just psychologically ruined me. Added to the knowledge that it's in the realm of disaster, it's so small. Like, we still had the car full of gas. We still had places we could go for food. For most of it, we still had places that would deliver food to us. We still had grocery store. Some of the grocery stores still had power. Because that was another thing. It was very arbitrary where the power cut off and didn't. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still had perfectly good water and water heating because ours is gas. Like, it was, you hear about these kind of things and like a hurricane comes through and shit like that. This was nothing compared to that. And it absolutely destroyed me. And like, I'm still not okay. Like, I still feel a little ill and I'm still not comfortable. Some of it's a sleep. I am confident tonight I will get a very good night's sleep and that will help. Because All the power comes back on 5:30. We are super happy, except the main air conditioning unit doesn't come back on. And I can't figure out why. On a dare, I try the porch light, and it's also not working. So I'm like, maybe this is a circuit breaker. But it's 5:30 in the morning, and the circuit breaker is way outside in the backyard that we haven't been in years. It's all overgrown and shit. So I'm like, fuck it. Bedroom is working. We'll sleep some more. So we slept for like not quite 2 more hours. Absolutely zonked. Just dead to the world. What is going on in my kitchen?
You're
a blind. Oh, the producer turned on a light. I looked away from the screen, and I looked back on cosmic rays were bathing the kitchen space. So it was terrifying to me. Yeah, that's the producer back there. But so just from having the air conditioning back, having the white noise generator, and having my CPAP mask, like, I hit hard those last 2 hours. I slept beautifully. Was not very much, though, and we had not slept much in general. So Trish is trying to deal with some work stuff. I went and got us some food, which is when the thing with the Bluetooth happened. Come back. We got to work on the fridge because, of course, now I have to go to the store tomorrow to actually buy food again. But not too much yet because I normally go shopping on Monday, so we just sort of need 3 days worth. But, I mean, we need food again in here. And we don't have gas on our stove, so we couldn't cook anything either. We had very little we could eat in the house. And eventually, pretty early, like 11, we were both like, can't take it anymore, and collapsed. And I had like a 4-hour really hard nap, which helped. But I think it's going to need a real full night's sleep tonight to do it. But it's just really... I've switched from saying that I think I would be one of the first to go in any apocalyptic situation to saying I hope I would be one of the first to go. Because it's so... It messed me up so bad. Mm. And this was such a little taste of it. Mm. So yeah, it's awful. Absolutely awful. Hated the whole thing. Still recovering. The cats, I thought, were kind of having fun because it was dark all the time and stuff. But I think they were a little freaked out, too. They were staying with us a lot, and then now that all the power's back and stuff, they're, like, resting more in their usual places and stuff. So, how'd it go for you?
Well, like you, we had the power blinked a couple times before it went out for good. And... So it created the rest of that day on Monday was fairly stressful in terms of, well, is it going to come back or not? And are we going to have to throw out food? And what are we going to have to throw out? The thing is, most of the food that I eat it's going to be fine. I don't eat meat, right? So a lot of the processed things that I eat doesn't even have like egg or anything in it. So most of the concern was with my wife's food that is, you know, a lot of meat and things like that. And in fact, when we've ended up throwing food out, it was not very much. So
Trish
that was
saved a lot of our freezer stuff, specifically our meat, which we had just purchased a fair bit, yeah. Because we have a chest freezer in the garage that kind of hasn't been touched in a long time, but is full of stuff that we just haven't looked at in years. It needs to be cleaned out. And she's like, it's going to be really cold. And so she took the stuff out there, and everything was totally frozen solid, and everything's still out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, we read somewhere that a freezer that's got stuff in it, because if a freezer is reasonably full, the stuff in the freezer will also help keep things cold.
Yeah.
So that you can be good for like 48 hours in a situation like that, as long as you're not opening it, closing it a lot.
Yeah.
The main problem would be the refrigerator and any meat or any kind of products like that you have in there.
FDA says the refrigerator 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty. It's the FDA really doesn't recommend you keep something after that long, and it just kept going and going. I mean, like you said, you know, 51 years in Iowa, and I don't remember being without power that long for anything.
No, Midwest. That's why I say, especially in the Midwest, because where I come from, in the Northwest, the power doesn't go out very often. When it does, it can be a while. It can be a few hours. I think it's even been close to a day before, maybe. Although it's gotten better over the years, obviously. In the Midwest, power goes out a fair bit. Like, a year without the power going out is unusual. But it's seldom more than half hour, maybe an hour. If it's 2 hours, it was real bad.
Yeah, it's usually not very long. And so, you know, that there was a little stress around that, but I mean, it went out in the early afternoon, and so we cooked out for supper, whatever. The only real inconvenience there was that our water wouldn't heat without electricity, so we just had cold water, and that was, you know, that was really it. That was the only real problem. And then in the middle of the night, at some point, I don't know exactly when, but I kept my light on here in the bedroom so that when the electricity came on, I woke up at some point afterwards, so I knew when it came on. And so by the next day, everything was fine. We barely had to throw anything out. We didn't have internet the next day, which was an issue for my work and for my wife's work, but the next day everything was back and it was like nothing happened really. And my family, one of my brothers didn't have power until like a day after I got power back. Another brother didn't lose power at all. My dad got power back within hours of losing it. So most of the people I knew and nobody had any property damage that was like damaging a house or a car or anything. On the farm, we have a windmill that blew over, which was really impressive considering, I mean, it's like, you know, cast iron and old. I mean, it's really old, and it just bent all the way over.
Oh, wow. So it didn't even fall. It actually, wow.
It's just
that bent. Is impressive. Yeah.
We walked around the neighborhood, the next day or something. And we did see trees like uprooted and everything. I mean, it was pretty severe.
Yeah. We had legit downed power lines a couple blocks away. And
they're calling this a, Derecho? Have you heard that terminology?
No.
It's called a derecho. The first, it in Spanish means straight, because the way the storm works is it's like if you see it coming, it's like a straight line of a front just kind of barreling in with some of these tornado speed or hurricane speed winds. And it was coined in like the 1870s by someone who was observing one in Iowa. But I don't think Iowa's had that many after that one. I think there was one that where the like northern Iowa just sort of got grazed by one. And then there were two more very recently in 1998 and 2008, I think, where they came like through Iowa, but I don't even remember those. I don't,
me neither
remember them particularly. Now I am familiar with storms that like flatten corn, 'cause that's a thing that happened. A lot of cornfields were flattened. And a lot of things will do that. A lot of severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, and things will do that.
Yeah, corn's not super sturdy.
And I might have, back in 98 and 2008, I might have heard of some of my neighbors down on the farm having corn flattened, but nobody made a big deal out of it being a specific kind of storm.
Assuming it was in summer, I wouldn't have been here in 98 because it was still college and I was still going home for the summer.
Mm.
Or at least that summer I went home. Oh, wait, though. I mean, I was literally in this house.
Well, I would think it would have made an impression. I mean, it's tempting to think that because of COVID and all the other things that we're just noticing this more, but I mean, this is, you can't even walk down the street. I mean,
no,
this happened. So maybe it just didn't.
This was honestly more damage, as near as I can tell, to Iowa City than the time the tornado went through the middle of Iowa City.
Yeah, it probably is. And
probably had more structural damage, but in terms of like trees and especially in terms of power outage and stuff.
Yeah.
Way worse.
Cedar Rapids, I mean.
Yeah, apparently Cedar Rapids is fucked. I thought this was very much sort of in a line. And so I thought maybe they didn't get hit so bad, but apparently they are really fucked.
Well, the line, it isn't a line. It's just in a wide line. So it's like it's scraping across the whole
state.
Well,
it's probably Mid-American may not service Cedar Rapids.
Oh, right. But
because it's not. So maybe that's a line. So maybe that's not a Cedar. Because I've been following on Mid-American's outages thing. Which was really disturbing because it would get lower and then it would get higher again.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're saying that some people in Cedar Rapids believe that Cedar Rapids right now is going through a worse situation even than the floods caused.
Okay. I feel like that's not even a statement you can make until a few months have gone by.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
As somebody who used to have to commute there after those floods.
It was pretty bad.
You couldn't see the roads because the river was over them.
Well, but I think more of Cedar Rapids is affected by this.
We'll see. I hope not. The whole districts of Cedar Rapids basically got reduced to nothing from those floods.
Yeah, yeah.
Entire districts to this day haven't come back.
That's right.
So I hope it's not that bad. But yeah, apparently it's pretty bad.
So yeah, I presume the ones in 98 and 2008 just weren't as destructive for some reason. I mean, maybe some places, maybe some farms.
Well, 08 was the flood, right? Or no, that was 03. When was that?
I don't know. I mean, I can't remember. There,
it might have been 08. It might have been 08.
There might have been flooding then. Yeah. There's been a couple floods in the 2000s.
No, I think it was because I started ACT in 2011, so I would have left IFT somewhere around 2009. Yeah, so it was probably 08. So maybe we were all distracted by that. Like the storm was just same shit, different day.
Could be.
Speaking of, the producer is cussing out 2020 like you would not believe at this point. She is not happy with this year.
I was talking to a friend of mine about this earlier, is that, you know, there's a significant number of people, like more than normal number of people, who have probably lost a loved one to COVID-19, a job to COVID-19, and now possibly their house to, you know, whatever this was. I mean, that's,
well, heck, this dramatic. Is only barely making national news. It did, but not enough that my news sites gave a shit, because everything's just so horrible already. And I kept thinking how much worse this is because of COVID. Because if it wasn't for COVID, we'd all be going to stay with our friends who kept power the whole time.
Yeah, right.
Because I got friends in town, didn't lose power, didn't lose internet. Whole time.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure they would totally be like, yeah, come stay a couple nights with us if it weren't for COVID.
You know, the worst thing about this kind of storm, and one of the things that makes it so destructive is the gusts, right? Because while the storm was going on, you got a sense of how this storm works. There were long periods of time where it was just raining. I mean, the wind didn't
seem
that
bad. Whenever I looked
bad
out the window, it looked like a big storm, but not any different than other big storms we've had.
But then suddenly you'd hear this loud noise, like a fist came out of the sky and punched your house in the face. I mean, it would last for just a little bit of time, but you can imagine if you've got a tree that's already swaying a little bit from a normal type of storm, and then at just the right moment, a big punch, 125 mile an hour punch comes in, it's going to push it almost, it'll uproot it in some cases, which is exactly what it did. So it was those, you know, when we were experiencing the storm, it wasn't like a sustained 125 mile an hour wind. It was like not very much of anything for a little bit. And then this big whoosh of a gust that was really heavy, and it might, you know, blow a tree down or something.
Yeah.
So, and it just cut a swath right across the state.
Despite all of this, I don't curse 2020 very much, partially because I don't think it's useful to get mad at a year. Although I did do it in 2016, but more because 2020 is a game of Quidditch from Harry Potter. There's a golden snitch at the end of this that will entirely determine how I feel about this year.
Really?
If we get Trump out of office, I will be so happy. And if we don't, then I'll be so mad.
That will, if he's voted out, that will completely determine your opinion.
No, I mean, I'll say it was rough, and it's not like I'm going to forget COVID, but any discussion about how bad the year was will immediately have me going, hey, but at least we got that guy out of the White House and never have to think about him again. Yeah. And contrary, if he gets reelected, I'm just going to straight up start murdering people.
Oh.
Just arbitrarily and randomly with fire. And
so we're going to keep doing this Zoom thing, right?
I mean, until the authorities find me.
I mean, you're not going to decide, hey, we're going to do the podcast at my house, because I'm not going to be in your house if you're randomly killing people.
It's going to be wholly arbitrary. Trust me, if I ever kill you, it's going to be specifically because I wanted to kill you.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm not going to throw that away.
That's kind of what I'm worried about, actually.
You deserve that much, at least.
Okay, well.
To not be a random fatality.
Yeah, well, I'm a little worried about that. So
I'm going to be so mad. But I'm also trying to prep myself for it because, say it with me, everyone, humanity is trash. All right. So, yeah, that was my week. What you been up to?
Well, same.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
Yours was much shorter.
Dealing with the storm. Well, I guess.
Way shorter. Maybe a fourth.
Since Thursday, it does seem like we finished watching Doom Patrol on HBO Now.
Good. Apparently, DC Universe is going to be in trouble.
That's what I heard.
DC Comics is having some deals.
I've been meaning to tell Jazz that I finished watching it because I think she wanted to talk to me about it, but I keep forgetting. So either I'll remember after the podcast,
Jazz!
Or she'll hear it on here and find
Jazz! William finished Doom Patrol.
It was pretty good. It was all right. I mean, you know, we enjoyed watching it. There were lots of times I thought it looked like something you would like. And I also feel that way about the Harley Quinn animated thing that we haven't finished yet. But
people are saying the Harley Quinn's one's amazing. I've thought about Doom Patrol. We'll see. There's other stuff. I think I'm hitting Altered Carbon next because I've been done with Killjoys for a while and I haven't really started a new thing. During all the power outage, I did have a fully charged Kindle, so I read a lot to Trish. And I also started Weird Sisters, the next Discworld book.
Oh.
It is fun. And I grabbed a couple other books in preparation if I needed a whole bunch more for a while. Yeah, Trish and I finished Umbrella Academy. Did I talk about finishing Umbrella Academy? No. Maybe we hadn't finished Umbrella Academy after last time.
I don't think you'd finished. I had seen it all. Yes. But you hadn't finished it yet.
The day after we finished it, I thought to myself, I really should probably very seriously stop watching it. Because I said something similar last time, but then I got it back, like the heart grew fonder over time and all that. But like, it annoys the shit out of me. And the only thing I like is the theoretical overarching plot, which doesn't come up that often. And which could very easily be read about on Wikipedia later. And in between, I just get so frustrated because everyone's the worst. It's a terrible story. It's a well-made show. It's a well-acted show. It's a terrible story. It's a story of horrible people doing very dumb things. And suffering for it constantly as though they were victims, which they are most definitely not. They're just idiots with too much power and sense of self, or occasionally too little sense of self, repeating the same life lessons over and over again on the backdrop of frankly shitty time travel. I don't believe any of their relationships. I don't believe any of them to be deserving of love or respect at all. They're all just the worst of humanity. And idiots. Oh, such idiots. Although I will admit, Luther got inflatedly stupid this last season. Like, he was always dumb, but he was less dumb first season. Like, he became an idiot in this season. Like, he was legit. Like, I was waiting for the subplot where we found out it was CTE from all those fights. Because, like, he was legitimately stupid. I don't give a shit about anybody's character arc. I really didn't care for the ending. I'm just like, what? Okay. I guess, whatever. It's not a good show, and I think I would enjoy it a lot more if I waited till it was done and then read the Wikipedia entries. We recently did that with Perry Mason, and that was way more fun. Also, I'm just going to throw this out there because it's hilarious. So, remember how we have this Perry Mason show, and he's a private detective, and he's not a lawyer, and we're all like, what the crap? What is this about? Well, it turned out the 8,000 episodes we watched was actually only the first three. It felt way longer. Fourth episode, he becomes a lawyer. During the episode, he passes the bar. Let me rephrase. He decides to become a lawyer, studies to become a lawyer, and passes the bar, among many other plot points in the next episode.
Oh, like in a montage or something?
I assume. I didn't watch it.
Studying and passing the thing about studying it. For and passing the bar montage.
With the help of Assistant District Attorney Berger, because we're bringing in all the... We basically, as near as I can tell, ended the series the way we... Like, everything settled into what you think of as Perry Mason. By the end.
Like the whole thing was some kind of prequel?
A little bit, yeah.
Whatever.
But no, it was totally worth spending 10 minutes reading on Wikipedia. Not worth watching. And the same thing with Umbrella Academy. I'm like, I want to know about Dad. That's what it comes down to with Umbrella Academy. I want to know about Dad. I don't give a crap about the kids. The only interesting things about the kids came up in the first season. Occasionally, a little bit. I know everything about the kids now. It is not worth knowing. I want to know about Dad. And we get like 10 minutes of Dad per season. So, no. I should stop. But it's up to you, Hatters, and to a greater extent, you, William, remind me of this when the third season is coming out.
I won't, but...
Also, saw a video of the guy who plays Klaus and the guy who plays Luther hanging out. And guy who plays Luther, British, and you can kind of tell because his accent slips every once in a while. Dude who plays Klaus, super Irish. Never would have guessed. He has nailed that accent. He is very Irish. Would not have had a clue. I mean, the name Sheehan probably should have tipped me off.
But. The guy who plays Luther is, he was in Black Sails. He plays Billy Bone. Really good.
Yes. That's super what good. Friends of mine recently said about that. They also implied that you really seem to think I should do Black Sails. They seem to think I would really hate the first season of Black Sails.
Yeah, I think you would. I mean, yeah, there are things in the first season of Black Sails that I don't know if you could get past it. But if you could, I think you would like the show. I think there's a lot of things you'd like about it. But the first season in particular, yeah, there's things that we almost stopped watching it. So,
well, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not. And it's too bad because, I mean, obviously for us, we felt like overall it was worth it to kind of stick it out and watch the whole thing. And then it was very, very well made TV, and it had some, you know, some good payoffs in terms of plot arcs and character arcs and things like that. But I certainly understand someone who has a hard time getting through the first season because, you know, we kind of did. So, yeah.
I forgot, during all this time trapped in powerless purgatory, dates have still been going forward. Yeah. So this Monday, probably, because we don't have regular TV, we'll be able to watch Lovecraft Country.
Oh, I think I had it on my calendar as Sunday.
Incredibly. I think Sunday is when it airs. Which means you can't watch it on the streaming services till Monday.
I got it. Sure.
And we don't have the channel HBO. It's the 16th it airs, which I think is Sunday. I am so excited for that one.
You know, we were supposed to be playing a pre-recorded podcast today because I was going to ask if we could do a double last week so I could go to the State Fair today. State Fair was supposed to start today.
But then the power's out, so they can't have it.
Oh, you know they canceled it months, weeks ago. Well,
I do, with a weirdly creepy video.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that today. I was kind of sad about that. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I watched a video of people going outside and doing things, and that made me sad. They went to a store. And everybody was just in the store. They went to a shopping mall and they were on a busy street and like it was all fine.
You know, it's probably, I mean, what if they hadn't canceled the fair? And I've worked at the fair, so I know the day before the fair opens, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And also a lot of trees there. So, I mean, you know, that could have, a lot of people could have gotten hurt there.
Well, I wonder how the fairgrounds is. You should have looked into this.
Not the day before, I guess it would. But still,
but yeah.
two weeks ahead of time, there's lots of people coming in and out.
Oh, yeah.
They're there. And it can be pretty dangerous. Yeah,
you should see how the fairgrounds are. You should look it up. Report back next week.
You're right. I should.
Meanwhile, we're getting ever closer to episode 500. So, correct me if I am wrong, people. Azertalen. Jazz, Craig, Blood Sparrow. We'll probably make Trish. Am I missing people who have specifically said they'd be on the air?
I don't think so.
I keep not remembering if Beth had said she would be.
Or Craig.
Stu didn't say it, but I think so. No, I said Craig, didn't I?
Oh, did
Craig
you?
Definitely said he would.
Maybe you did. Sorry. I was trying to keep track of my head, and I'm terrible.
The goal here is every listener will be on that episode.
Seems
it
like
it will
Beth.
Be a self-contained podcast. Yeah, so if I didn't list you, say something. Go on the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. Say some stuff. Also write in more questions because we always need more questions. Speaking of which, we should probably draw some questions.
Let's do it. Question time.
I apologize if this is kind of a sad episode, but I'm still fucked up. All right. This is from Azertalen. It appears to have been abridged because he writes too damn much. And you've met like Bethoop. What pattern of fabric are your coronavirus masks?
Mine's just black, but it's got a little heart on it. little, like if I, like it was painted on my cheek, it's like right there, but it's otherwise black, a red heart on black.
What I've been using are neck gaiters, and the one I most commonly use is tie-dye. There's also a pink one with cats on it. There's also blue tie-dye. Trish recently made an actual mask with some of the fabric. Because what happens is Trish just bought a bunch of fabric. Trish has recently brought up, apparently, there's some recent bad press on neck gaiters. The tube of fabric ones like I wear. Because a while back, they did a study about different masks and how effective they were. And apparently neck gaiters did pretty well. But one of the side observations they had was that the neck gaiters seem to have more of a tendency to take large droplets of moisture and what leaked out scattered into smaller droplets of moisture. And this was unrelated to what they were doing for the study. This was a separate finding or whatever. It was just something mentioned in it. But it nevertheless, several places have run with it now. And they're like, oh, neck gaiters are the worst ones for it. No, 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 which is not accurate at all. But it means that if you have those, some people might start thinking you're a monster.
You're a monster. So
be prepared for that.
That is the world we live in, isn't it?
Yep, yep. There's not a lot of middle ground. Says the guy who had us all chant humanity's trash earlier.
And threatened to kill everybody.
Yeah. I don't know that it was a threat. I'm not, I mean.
A promise then?
It's, I mean. I feel like for the most part, especially given the town I live in and all that, as I am stabbing at people with fire and things like that on the day after, you know, most of them will be like, I don't enjoy this, but I get it. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to get a lot of pushback from the murdering.
Okay. I would dispute that, but
I mean,
okay.
We'll have to see.
This is coming from a person who insists he'd be the first to go in an apocalypse. You think you're going to manage to be able to kill someone without them killing you first? Even like a child someone?
I mean, there's a lot of weak and infirm people around here.
I suppose, but you said you were going to be indiscriminate and arbitrary. You weren't really going to be your victims based on their level of...
And it's not like I'm going to be sneaky about it. Like, I fully assume...
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to be running out the front of the house, like, flaming toilet paper roll on a stick in one hand and chef's knife in the other, fully naked, covered in an assortment of, like, condiments from the fridge, just yelling at the top of my lungs. So...
Yeah, I'd say there's a chance that someone might take you out before you have a chance to take anybody out.
All right, and I mean, like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. It's
you might I take should, a few people with you. You might.
I should have been clear. That is the end goal.
Okay, I get it.
Like suicide by election, if you will.
Yeah.
There wasn't a version where I'm like, he got reelected. Ah, stab, stab, fire, fire. And then like 4 hours later, I'm like, all right, time to get back home. Like, that's not.
That wasn't what was going to
happen. No, this isn't this is self-immolation twice. Maybe I'll just do that.
You know, it's really good.
Maybe I'll just go in the yard and set myself on fire.
It's really good that nobody watches this on YouTube, or else it would get removed for all the stuff you're saying, even in jest. It would be.
We might be getting demonetized.
I mean, worse than that. But see, nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to report it.
For the record, this is all made up. I'm incredibly pacifist and lazy. So I'm going to be super mad on my couch. I'll be just crying. I will definitely be stress eating. But I'll be on my couch.
It's kind of ridiculous that we even have to allow psychologically for this possibility. I mean, there's just, why?
Because we didn't allow for it psychologically last time, and we paid for it.
Okay, but I mean, that also is inexcusable on all kinds of levels.
So we have a senatorial race this year around here, and the candidate that I hate is getting most of the ads. And most of them are about how her opponent is so horrible, which crack me up. But what I love is there's one where she just says her name and she says, "And I'll never stop fighting for Iowa." And every time I say, usually out loud, "Would you if we asked you to?" Because I'm like, what is that? Look, this always cracks me up. Politicians always have to do their campaigns as though it is a sure thing they're going to win. They're always like, "We're going to do this and we're going to win." And I'm like, so then later when you don't, does that mean you were a liar? Because they all say that. They're like, "The next president." And I'm like, no, one of you, maybe, but the other, no. So were you lying? But so this is when, like, I'll never stop firing. I'm like, so what does that look like if you lose? How do you keep fighting for Iowa? I'm very curious. That may be the only thing you could talk about that would I would give a damn about hearing about. If you lose, what would that look like? Because, I mean, there definitely will come a point where I stop fighting for Iowa. And I'm willing to acknowledge the definite possibility that that time has already come and
gone. Yeah, I was going to say.
Probably. I'm not going to say for sure, but it is definitely within the realm of possibility that I have, in fact, already stopped fighting for Iowa.
Okay.
I will say I'm way past fighting for Oregon, so I mean, that tells you something, but.
Okay.
Gotta fight for Iowa. Not a song that I knew, but was a song I invented called Kitty Parade.
What's that?
That same song.
The Iowa Fight song?
Yeah, but I didn't know the Iowa Fight song. When the cats in the morning, I was going to give them breakfast. I would like call them and they would all come in the line. So I started singing the song going, "Do do 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 Kitty Parade, do 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 do." And then Trish later was like, "That's the Iowa Fight song." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then we went to something where they played the Iowa Fight song. And I was like, "That's goddamn Kitty Parade." The only difference is the end of Kitty Parade kind of segues into being the end of Teddy Bear's Picnic for some reason.
Oh, okay.
And the Iowa Fight song does not do that.
No,
the last section is different, but otherwise they're identical. And I had never heard the Iowa Fight song, and I feel like they might owe me royalties.
I'm wearing my University of Iowa shirt.
I'm wearing my Kitty Parade shirt.
But for people who don't know, the Iowa Fight song is specifically the song for the University of Iowa, you know, athletics or whatever.
Yes, University of Iowa song that they yell during sports balls.
I'm not sure everybody who, like, I graduated from the University of Iowa. I'm not sure everybody who did ever necessarily learned the entire Iowa Fight song. I'm quite certain there was a time where I knew the whole thing, but I could not sing it for you now without looking it up and jogging my memory as to what the lyrics are. Which probably makes me a bad
person. Fight for Iowa.
That's how it starts, yes. And then there's more.
Oh, I know. Kitty Parade is a similar thing. Kitty Parade is da 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 Kitty Parade. And then it's just that does. Kitty Parade. It has no other lyrics except at the very end, which again kind of turns into Teddy Bear's Picnic. And so it often, if I get that far, the lyrics just become because they're tired, little kitty parade. Because the end of Teddy Bear's Picnic, because they're tired, little teddy bears. And so I'll do because they're tired, little kitty parade. And if I'm really feeling it in the morning, it gets a refrain. I say, because they're tired, little kitty parade. But I haven't done Kitty Parade in a very long time. I'm not sure Addie even knows it at all. So, but the point is, University of Iowa stole it from me. Rebranded it as the fight song. All right, should I draw another thing?
That'd be great. All right. It'd be great if we got two questions in.
This one is from Jazz. Jazz! Yay. William finished Doom Patrol!
I was going to tell her and I forgot.
What was the first show you watched as a kid that was not a kid's show?
Hey, that's a good question.
Breaking Bad.
Come on.
Oh, mine's tons of them. Tons and tons and tons of them because we watched a lot of family TV. I don't know. They were all there when I was very little. At 3 years old, I was watching soap operas with my mom.
And that's the point. You can remember.
Yes, I can remember watching soap operas and having opinions about characters. I don't think they were based on the plot line.
Well, there you go. What was the soap opera that you watched?
Young and the Restless was one that I watched a lot. General Hospital, we watched a lot. I remember because Young and the Restless, I admired Victor very much, who's still on the fucking show. 40 some odd years later, he's still there. And when I was little, General Hospital was right at the height of the Luke and Laura thing. Like, I think as a kid, I watched Luke and Laura's Wedding. As a kid, I didn't remember the part that he raped her and then later they got back together. But, you know, different times.
I remember Another World being on television as a soap opera.
We didn't do that one. We did All My Children.
And As the World Turns, but I only remember Mom watching Another World. I'm sure she watched other ones, but that's the only one. But I didn't watch it. I'm trying to think of the first show that I watched, because obviously while my parents were watching Adult Fare, I was seeing it. And so I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
I think I need to think of the show that it was an adult and I actually wanted to sit down and watch it. I'm trying to think of what that would be. And I also want to exclude variety shows because I think I watched variety shows attentively, like from infancy. So
we didn't watch those. The big ones as a family in the early days were MASH, Magnum PI, and Murder, She Wrote. We all watched all of those I was very young.
I mean, I want to say All in the Family, but it probably was. And then I want to say like Emergency or Adam 12, but it was probably even before that, it was probably Dragnet. It was probably Dragnet.
That I could see that.
I'm going to say it was Dragnet. Was like, if there was ever a point in time, the first time little Billy sat down and watched an adult show because he wanted to, and he wasn't just sitting there because mom and dad were watching, and it wasn't a variety show, but it was an adult-oriented show that he was taking interest in, that moment we were probably watching, and it also wasn't the news or documentary. Because actually, probably I probably preferred to watch like 60 Minutes and stuff, even when I was very young.
Fun fact, William's first crush, despite being solidly heterosexual, was David Attenborough.
No, I didn't. We never saw any David Attenborough things when I was a kid.
Because I didn't. Hicks.
I didn't see anything with David Attenborough until a lot later. I'll bet the first adult show made for adults that I ever saw that wasn't a variety show, probably that I watched with interest, was probably Nova. on PBS. But if we're talking about like a fictional TV show, it was probably Dragnet. That's interesting.
Dragnet existed. I definitely know.
No, what's interesting about that is it's probably the first adult program I deliberately watched was Nova. I'm sure that's what it was, because I think probably the thing that really got me into watching anything on television with any interest outside of Sesame Street and cartoons, it was probably with my mom's dad, because he watched those things. So it was probably Nova. It's probably the first adult thing I watched with interest, but the first fictional thing was probably Dragnet. And what's interesting about that is Dragnet always started by telling you that the show was based on actual cases.
Yes, the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah, so in a way, I was still watching nonfiction, and that was the thing I liked to watch. That was weird.
If we want to say something that I watched without my parents, intentionally, that was not a kid's show, I bet it was like an episode of MASH some night when they were away from home or something.
I never watched anything without the rest of the family. Not one time, except...
You're the one who put this on here. You just said if little Billy's going to sit down and watch something without his parents. You said that.
No, without it being just because they're watching it. I'm watching it. And they could leave the room and I wouldn't care. The television was never a thing that only one person was watching. Not ever.
Well, I was an idiot box kid. So I was definitely one of those that... If you turned on the TV, I would stare at it. Yeah. And if you left the room, I would keep staring.
I don't think there was ever a time when the television was on where there weren't at least two people watching it. That's just how it was in our house.
See, now, we sometimes, had a lot of TVs.
Sometimes, like maybe dad would decide he wants to watch bowling or golf or something. And the rest of us wouldn't want to watch it. So maybe we'd go outside or something, but a lot of television was the whole family was watching.
We usually, for most of my upbringing, we had more than one TV. And so the biggest solid time we had the good TV, which was like maybe 12 inches, but was in color. And then we also had a couple of like 9-inch TVs that were black and white in various rooms.
We did have a mini travel television.
Oh no, that was beyond us. I always thought that was the greatest luxury in the world.
We could sometimes go, like if mom and dad were watching something we didn't like, but I think I can remember every single time we did that. It was like three times. But other than that, we only had one television and we all watched it together every single night. From the time we turned it on to watch the national news and local news to the time we turned it off after the national, the local news at 10 o'clock, and sometimes we'd watch Carson and we'd turn it off. But we'd all be watching it pretty much the whole time as a family for the whole time I was growing up. That's the way it was. But which seems weird now because, I mean, you know, when we had kids in the house and, I mean, I guess we also watched TV together. There wasn't really anyone watching TV by themselves.
We had stuff we watched together, but we would watch plenty of stuff by ourselves.
I mean, the kids didn't have TVs in their rooms or anything.
I eventually got a TV in my room. In fact, the TV I got in my room was the old good TV.
Oh.
Years later.
Yeah, we only had one television really in this house.
As the last kid, I got a lot of things just trying to get rid of me. They were just like whatever keeps him quiet and in his room. So I got my own phone line, I got my own TV, things like that.
Well, I knew a lot of kids who had their own television, their own game console, their own phone. In fact, in the phone book, a lot of phone listings had something called a teen line.
Yeah.
That was some kid's personal phone. I was like, wow, we didn't have
any of that. Eventually, because I, in junior high, started talking on the phone an obscene amount. Like 4 or 5 hours in one call.
Wow.
with a particular friend of mine. She and I would talk all the time. And on top of that, this was also the era when I started using the computer and using the modem, which would tie up the phone line. So at a certain point, my parents were like, this is more for us than for him. But here you go. We're giving you your own phone line with your own number, and we will pay for it. No long distance, but we will pay for it as long as you live here. And that was awesome, but it mostly just saved them from having to be annoyed and yell at me a lot. And it allowed me to start my own 900 number, which helped put me through college.
It is funny how people think that, you know, kids having phones and computers and stuff all the time and being distracted by that is like a new thing. I mean, it was already happening, like with you in your childhood. Yep. So there's nothing. I mean, it always gets me when people talk about pretty much every problem people talk about with the internet today has been a problem with the internet since the beginning.
And since before the internet.
Yeah, and TV, well,
was going to TV was going to ruin books. No one was going to read a book after.
Well, even news today, it's news today is truly crap. But when newspapers first started, you know, in the 15th, 16th century, they were crap. I mean, we're just basically going back to our roots when it comes to news. I mean, nothing happening right now has not happened before. One of the reasons people treat it like it's never happened before is because they want to make an argument that it's worse now than ever and we're heading into some kind of Armageddon because of it. But it's just not true. This is all stuff that's happened before. No, nothing worse.
Will happen again.
It's not going to lead to anything terrible because it hasn't led to anything terrible. There's just a certain number of bad actors in the world, and sometimes they get a platform where they can say terrible things that everyone else can hear when they couldn't hear it before. It's moral panic, kind of like with the video games. Remember the moral panic around video games and whatever that was? It's just...
Well, I mean, there have been several, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just a moral panic, and it's annoying. I just wish people would calm down and let's try to deal with real issues. Like, you know, right now with the Black Lives Matter and everything and people actually paying attention to some things that need to happen in reforming police departments and addressing police brutality and things like that. Those are real issues that need to have been addressed for a long time. But sometimes I see the conversation get completely derailed by talk about, you know, Facebook ads stealing elections and weird things like that. It's like, what world do you people live in? This is, we've got real serious issues that we can actually do something about. And you want to talk about, you want to have a moral panic about something that has been around for decades now and really is not an issue?
It's always the kids. Get rid of the kids and we won't have this problem. Kill all the kids. 2020.
Everyone is always afraid that whatever's happening in society is going to turn the children into what? Serial killers or Satanists or whatever?
I mean, what they already are. Children are the worst people. Don't get me wrong. Adults aren't that much better. But... All right, I'm tired of this. I need my sleep.
All right, sorry.
You all write in, because we use two tonight. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Also go to the blog. Tell us how long you've been without power. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Apparently, the 13-hour outage served Stu well, because his children were going nuts, not having anything to do, and he just would quietly sit in a corner in the dark and catch up on episodes of our podcast. So
that served him well.
Yeah, so he was very happy about that.
Okay.
Well. All right. The rest of you, be safe and don't kill anybody. I was about to put in some word qualification there, but no, that's my platform. Don't kill anybody.
Solid platform, solid.
That's the kind of guy I am this hour. And we'll see you next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.